Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of That Arena Rock Show, the podcast where we talk all things 70s and 80s. Rock and roll! That's my Paul Stanley.
Oh, yeah. Rock and roll!
What in the hell are you doing?
Oh, I didn't realize we were on air.
Yeah, we're live. What are you doing?
I was playing with wrestling figures.
Oh, my God. Gosh.
I was not playing with wrestling figures.
Yeah, I know. You're a professional.
I try.
What's going on, guys? How are you guys doing?
Doing good.
Fantastic, man. Fantastic.
Doing good. Yeah, man. We got some cool stuff to talk about today. We got our buddy Finn, who's going to come on here shortly and talk about some paintings that are inspired by rock and roll music, rock and roll songs, album covers, stuff like that. So we're excited to chat with him. Some stuff going on in That Arena Rock Show world. We got a show coming up that we just announced. It is May 29th at JD Legends with Aces High, the Iron Maiden tribute band, opening up for us. And tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. So if you want to get your tickets, make sure you get your spot in the show. Stop by that. We'll post a link tomorrow, and you click on that and get your tickets, and it'll be a good time. A lot of people are asking like how they're going to be doing things. There's going to be some VIP tables on the side, like JD Legends normally does, and then there's also going to be a GA floor. So if restrictions are still, we're doing the social link distance thing, if that's still a thing by the time of the show, they're going to do general admission chairs. So there'll be chairs in the on the floor, and you just kind of grab one. But if restrictions are lifted, it's just going to be, a party like normal, I suppose. So, which, man, what is it? What's today? Tuesday? Yesterday was a year.
Yeah.
Exactly to the day that everything started.
Yeah. Holy cow.
It's been a long time since things were normal.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. I just hope that, when this concert starts, and in fact with all live concerts, we can actually go back to doing it the way it always has been.
Yeah.
We don't have to go in there wearing the mask and, doing all that stuff. Now, yeah, I think we should, be safe and everything, but
yeah,
I just want things to go back to normal.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I think we all do. I went to a concert on Friday. I went to go see Winger, Firehouse, and Bullet.
I heard about that. I should have went to go see that. Yes.
Yeah. It was a good
time.
How
was that?
It was fun. It was really cool to go back to a room full of people watching, watching a band. So I don't think that I've done that since the pandemic. I might have seen a couple tribute bands, but I haven't seen a national act since, it's over a year, I guess. So it was cool to see.
Winger's always known to put on great shows. So is Firehouse. Now, I've never seen the Bullet Boys live, but I've heard they're great too. And I've always wanted to see the Bullet Boys.
Yeah, the Bullet Boys, it was the reunited Bullet Boys. And
oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. So that was the first time I got to see the reunited version of them. And they killed it, man. Firehouse came on. Their singer, I can't think of his name. Anyways, great singer. Amazing singer still all to this time.
That guy sounds just like he... sounded back in the
80s. He's not lost anything. He's got what they got, Love of a Lifetime, Don't Treat Me Bad. My favorite is All She Wrote, that song, if you're familiar with the Firehouse album.
I think my favorite song is probably Reach for the Sky, right?
Oh,
next
great.
to
great song.
Rock on the Radio, which yeah. If I'm not mistaken, you guys did a little intro to that.
We did, yeah.
Back when you guys were starting.
Yeah, that was a while. That's a while ago. Yeah, CJ Snare, that's it. CJ Snare is the name of the singer for Firehouse. Amazing singer still to this day. So after they went on, Winger came on and played a killer set. I mean, Kip Winger, another singer from back then that just still has it. You know, he hasn't lost anything on his voice. And
have they ever told you the story of how Red Beach handed me a beer to open for him?
No, tell me.
I was stuck in between these amps. This was at this place called The Venue. I'm guessing that's what it was called. It was like this bar. The Guns N' Roses tribute band opened up. I think you know those guys. Pretty cool guys. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I'm stuck between the amps. I can't move. Red Beach takes like a 10-second break, kind of like, you know, get a drink for a moment while he still has. And he looks down at me because he can't open the beer. So he goes like, hey, can you open this for me? Sure. And then I went backstage and talked to him, and he looked at me like, weren't you the guy that I opened beer? Yes, I was.
Yeah, that guy's probably one of my favorite lead guitar players from the 80s.
That guy is phenomenal.
Yeah, just nasty on the guitar, man. So that was cool to see him up close and in person. I've seen him with Whitesnake, but I haven't seen him with Winger, so that was cool to see. In a room full of people, you know, masks and socially distanced or not, you know, it was a lot of fun to be back around people and enjoying, you know, a live show again with, you know, fellow rockers. So
I believe it.
I also ran into a really cool guy there. He plays in a Kiss tribute band called Sweet Pain.
I've heard of them.
Yeah. He's the ace. So,
Wow.
Him and his wife recognized me and he was later like, aren't you Nikki Starr? No, people say I look like that guy, but got to meet him and his wife and, they were great people. So hello everyone that's tuning in. We're just kind of babbling to kind of build this audience here. So, if you're just tuning in, we have our show that we just announced May 29th at JD Legends with Aces High, the Iron Maiden tribute band. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. And it's going to be a ravishing good time. So make sure you guys come out to that one. What's going on, Denise? I see Denise on here. Cheryl, Rob, Russ. Carrie.
Denise says you're famous.
I guess. So another cool thing we got something cool coming up with Denise is we are doing these private acoustic shows. So basically what we do is we get the band together and we do a 45-minute acoustic show over StreamYard just for you and your, you know, whoever's at your house or whatever, you know, we can pop you on kind of like this and the band plays in one screen and you're on the other and we can communicate. And Vicky and Russ did one with us recently and Denise is doing one with us this weekend, which is going to be really cool. We didn't really know what to expect when we first did them. And we had a lot of fun when we did it the last time. So we're looking forward to doing it again. And so if you are interested in something like that, hit up our website, thatarenarockshow.com, and in the news section, there is a link to fill out, you know, what songs you want us to play and all that good stuff. So, but cool. So what do you got? You guys got anything you guys want to share or you guys want to get on with it?
I guess there's a few things I should share. I've been doing a few live interviews on my individual podcast from Rockin' with Seabass. Mm-hmm. Just got done interviewing T-Bone. Yeah. That went really well. You know, did a lot of good insight about what the band's been doing and what they could be doing in the near future. I also must hint out that this Friday, I will be interviewing some guy with long black hair. I don't really know much, but I hear he's pretty cool. I'm talking about Nicky Starr here.
Yeah.
But I will be interviewing him. And that's pretty much all I got for now. What about you, Josh?
What's your page that you do those on? Is it Rockin' with Seabass?
Oh, yes. It's Rockin' with Seabass. Sorry. That's how I spell it. Don't it's ask.
Fancy.
I know, right? I like to be fancy. What about you, Josh?
Tomorrow, me and my buddy Chuck are interviewing Justin Credible at 7 o'clock right here on The Buzz. He's an ECW. I don't know if he's in the Hall of Fame, but he's a former ECW champion. So we're interviewing him. We're going to talk about his career in ECW and WWE, and he's going to give his pretty controversial takes on today's current product. So it's going to be interesting. But
it should be interesting. I'd like to watch that.
Yeah, I remember Justin.
And what time is that again, Josh?
Yep.
Yeah.
What time was that again, Josh? 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. Okay. You can find it on the Buzz's Facebook page or their Twitter or YouTube.
Cool. Awesome.
Well, we look forward to that one.
Dorian,
there's really not much to talk about.
Dragon, whatever that means. in the corner.
Yeah, at first I was
what do they see that I don't?
There's a dragon. There's a dragon in our podcast, Nikki. We never knew.
I had no idea. You know, there's a dragon. There's an axe. There's some.
Hey,
what the hell's on your wall? Some forks or something?
What? Oh my thing. The background of that's a Motley Crue clock in the middle, and then on the left and right is the Striper sticks and I think Winger or LA Gun sticks. I can't remember. Oh no, Night Ranger sticks. That's what they were.
Awesome.
That's what I got. But. What can I say?
Well, cool. Let's bring on our guest. So Finn is known for doing well. First, there he is, Finn the Magnificent. Welcome, Finn.
Hey, let me adjust my camera here for you so you can.
He's loading.
There you go. My full
loading.
Full magnitude of my head.
So
yeah. There you go. Outstanding.
Beautiful.
We're good to go.
Is this your artery in your head?
This is my main studio for tax purposes. It's one of four that I have in my house, but I would tell you that your guys' intro was perfect enough for me to get a guest to settle perfectly as we are on St. Patrick's Day Eve. So sláinte and toast to you guys for having me on. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us.
But I was listening to the beginning of the show, and I'm going to tell you, it's kind of funny because you're talking about Winger and Firehouse and was it Bullet Boys? Is that right?
Yeah.
And having seen those guys the first time around when, before it was a reunion show, I would tell you anybody that has seen those bands first run is immune to COVID, because if you got through any of those shows, you got nothing to worry about. I'm going to tell you right now. Go ahead.
Oh no! I was going to say, so one of the things that you have done in your history of working with music or music business is you worked at Bogart's in Cincinnati. You were the GM, is that right?
Twice, yeah. Actually, from 1989 to 1991, it was my first real job. Then I went into radio to get an unreal job, and then I came back in 2014 and did 5 more years, so 7 years total. But or two completely different generations, back when music was awesome and then when it sucked out loud.
Yeah. So did you work with some of those 70s and 80s bands back then? Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely. In fact, I had a girlfriend at the time in 89, 90. She was obsessed with Kip Winger. And so I took her up to McGuffey's in Dayton back in the day. And got her back to meet Kip Winger. And she did. She was, you know how girls say, well, I have a list. And these are the 5 people on my list. And you can't get mad about them. Well, he was number one on her list. And I think I left him alone for 5 minutes. So that's why her kid has such brilliant white teeth.
Yeah.
Because of Kim.
Right, but she was completely, totally infatuated with Kip Winger. And then he came into Bogart's, I don't know, a couple years later when when I was working there. But yeah, Bullet Boys, all those guys came in. I mean, back in the day, we had the Chili Peppers, Ministry, Nine Inch Nails. I mean, it was insane. The BB King.
Wow.
BB King came in twice while I was there. The first run, KD Lang. We had Public Image Limited, the Four Horsemen. I mean, it was just insane who came through there during that period of time. And I joke about it because, you know, back then, and we had so much death metal and so, you know, Testament and so many other metal bands that came through there. And then the last 5 years I was there, I would say before I knew 95% of the bands coming through. This time I didn't know 95% of the bands coming through. Most of them were, and are you allowed to, what is this, PG-13, by the way, or is this no. R? What is it?
No, say what you want.
Whatever you want.
Okay. It was a bunch of these YouTube dipshits who would come in a busload of 35 of them, all with their mommies, take up the entire back parking lot. Each of them had 30 seconds of alleged talent. And it would sell the place out. And then we'd have a band like The Darkness come in and do 350 people. And it just irritated me. And it was finally the reason that I said I had had enough. But I will tell you one quick story, because you may or may not be familiar with a band called Skid Row and a fellow named Sebastian Bach. Yeah.
But, I heard about that guy. Yeah.
They came in and did a show. They were out opening for Guns N' Roses. And we had them for a one-off show. Total coincidence, but I mean, it sold out people around the block. If you had taken a picture from above with a drone, it would look like an anthill with honey poured on it before the show. They come in, the after show happens. Sebastian is up in the balcony. They want a bottle of Jack Daniels or some bourbon, Jim Beam, whatever for him. I said to the record label rep, and this is again 1990-ish. I said, I cannot give him a bottle of booze. He's not 21. He goes, you give it to me. Don't worry about what happens to it after that. So I said, all right, fair enough. I can certainly skirt that responsibility. So I gave it to Tommy, who was with the record label. And then he goes over and hands it to Sebastian. And the next thing that happened is something that lived in my head for, God, almost 30 years. And it wasn't until Sebastian Bach came back the next time I was at Bogart's, 2017. He was walking off stage. He did the solo show, and he walked off stage. I went up and said, hey. I said, hey, man. I said, it's nice to see you again. I was here when you were here in 1990-ish or whatever. And the story was that Tommy handed Sebastian the bottle and like went like this on his head. He's like, here you go, buddy. I got this taken care of. So I'm telling Sebastian, do you remember what happened last time you were here? He goes, oh, yeah, dude. We're in the balcony. And he goes, Tommy gave me the booze, and I went like this to thank him, and his toupee came off in my hand. And I said,
oh, no.
I have been telling that story since that day, and I kind of felt like it was O.J. Simpson. Like, I had told it to myself enough that it was true, but it was true, and he validated it some 25, 30 years later. He pulled that guy's toupee off. This guy was in his early 30s, never saw him again, ever. Pulled his toupee off. It was one of the greater hairband stories we've ever had. So anyway,
that's awesome.
It was always cool to see a lot of those bands back in the day. But I'm telling you, all the music that you guys are playing and what you're going to be doing at JD Legends is the stuff that keeps us immune from stupidity, if not COVID.
Yeah,
I agree with that. Cheers. Cheers to that.
Fun music. You had a lot to do with that place, right? Like, so you all the updated stuff that's been going on in there, like you know, the bricks that you like, yeah, when you walk in, weren't you the guy that like painted those?
Yeah, Live Nation, when they came in, did a handful of those bricks. But I'm like, you know what? This wall is such a big part of what's going on, and people stop here to talk to security. If there was something else for them to talk about and not be just engaging with security, how cool would that be? So we started putting up all the band, mostly a lot of bands that were either super famous or had sold out or in the Hall of Fame or whatever. So we did that. The whole front facade, the redo of the balcony and a lot of things. And they've actually, during this downtime, a lot of people have been asking me, will Bogart's be back? Yes, they will be back. I won't be there, but they will be back. And they've been making some other improvements. And my understanding is, if for those who are with wheelchair needs, there are some other changes that are going to be happening as well. So The plan is to stay safe, but be back soon, even if it's a limited number of people. But you guys hit the nail on the head. Just come out. As I always say, use your head for more than a hat rack. Be smart. And shows will be back.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait. That little taste I had on Friday was, made me hungry for more. So yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to getting back out. We haven't played since New Year's Eve. That was a socially distanced show over at JD Legends. And so we're excited to get back out and finally have the full big stage and all that fun stuff. Another thing you did at Bogart's that I always thought was cool is the bars were Marshall amps.
Right.
And that was spearheaded by you, right?
Yeah, that was the first thing that I did because it was the first thing I had the budget to do. Sorry, Calvin. Stick his head into the chair.
That's okay.
He's a camera hog. Hey, this lens is only big enough for one of us, our giant heads, pal. But
serious dog.
No, but I did the I looked back at the bar and thought, if you were on stage, what would be the coolest thing when you were sound checking? Because once everything, it gets full, you're not going to see it. Well, what would be cool for you to look at if you were in a band and said, yeah, I'm at a rock and roll club? So we turned the A and B bar down on the main floor into Marshall heads. And I have to tell on myself here because this is not typically the kind of thing that I miss. But we did them. They looked fucking awesome. And Chris from the crew, who you guys know, Chris Goddard, yeah, comes out and he goes, they'll go to 11. I'm like, God damn it. So we had them redo them. So now they go to 11.
Yeah.
And I put down on the little on switch, the red on switch, I put bicycle or street reflectors. So there's a light shining on it. So there's a red glow. That's just a little nuance, but a little red glow to make them look like they're on. So that was what we did. The people have taken that idea and run with it since then. I can't think of any of them off the top of my head other than one of the other three heads I'm sharing this screen with. But I would tell you, there's no reason not to because I have a Marshall refrigerator for all my beers. Yeah. There's just nothing that isn't cool about that brand.
Exactly. Exactly. It was so perfect, and I loved what, like you said, being a sound check, you'd look off, you'd see that, and I was like, that is the coolest thing. If I ever get to build a bar in my basement, that's what I'm doing, and you helped me out with that. So nice. I got that going, so that was cool.
I would tell you the other thing, the sound panels, which were those big red cloth panels over the years, Steve Ziegelmeier,
was
the greatest rock and roll photographer ever. That's not how he started. Amazing. He just became the guy. A few years of Rock on the Range, and he got it. He fucking gets it. He knows how to frame a picture, how to shoot a picture, and then how to post-produce the picture. And he allowed me to use his photos of bands and individuals who had been at Bogart's over the years to make those big. Those are acoustic panels. That's all printed on cloth for acoustics.
That's awesome.
And, and so that is sort of a living gallery to his expertise. But that to me, when you looked in there, the new floor and all that stuff, and you really walked in that place, it was the thing that made people and the facade, it made people feel more comfortable coming in there, and they really felt like they were a part of history. And to have you guys in there and play so early on in your history was so great for us.
I don't know if people know this or not, but I had to bug the crap out of you and Weston and you finally got us in, and you guys were a big reason to why our band's successful.
You didn't have to bug me. I knew. I just had to make sure that he called you guys.
That's true.
And I knew.
Yeah. I remember when we posted like the first picture, announcing kind of that Arena Rock Show was going to be a thing, and I think you were the first person to comment on it, and
no question.
I can't remember exactly what you said, but it was positive, and it's cool that that it's turned into what it's turned into,
you guys, clearly you guys have captured the spirit that is long since gone and will never, and sadly it's never going to come back. I didn't watch the alleged Grammys the other night because then I saw Wolfie and some other people talking about just how, short shrifted Eddie Van Halen was. And I thought, And I know I sound like the old guy screaming at the clouds, but it's just not the same. So the energy that you've captured, and the good thing is it's not just people as old as me. I'm ancient, but my daughter is now 19 years old. She's into all of that stuff. And so she'll play a song for me and I'll go, that's awesome. Now let me show you where that song came from. And so then I play something for her and we do that. And she goes, God, you could do this forever. I said, yeah, because there are no new ideas, just good memories. So everything comes from somewhere. So you have captured a vibe and a spirit, I think, that people will always want to have as part of the party, whether they're indoors, outdoors, mm-hmm. or in their backyard pitching cornhole.
Yeah. we'll play your backyard too.
Hell yeah.
Speaking of vibes that you've mentioned, you know, with the magic that the Arena Rock Show has created, you know, you're obviously, you know, into artwork a lot. You know, I've seen your page. You're really good. What inspires you to get into all that?
Well, honestly, I've been painting and drawing since I was a little kid, but it was always just a hobby. And I went to school out of high school to be an architect, and I went to Miami University into their architecture school because I thought I was going to be an architect. And I'll be honest with you, the whole reason for that was the Brady Bunch.
Oh, and good show.
If you watch the Brady Bunch, you saw, you know, Mike was an architect, and mm-hmm. he worked from home sometimes, and he built models on his desk at home. And I'm like, how cool would that be, just to build models and draw all the time? And then the first time I had to build a model in class my freshman year, I'm like, fuck you, Mike Brady. This sucks. This is hard to do. I don't like it. I would rather be riding roller coasters at Kings Island and losing your plans. Those are old guy references. But I moved to communications because I would rather present my project than do my project, mm-hmm. and started at 97X. Up there, but I've always painted or drawn or done something. And a couple years ago, when I left Bogarts in 2019, I said, well, I'm going to give myself until my birthday to get back into the full-time job market. Well, my birthday, March 10th, a year ago, the whole world went to hell in a handbasket on March 10th and a half. So I didn't know what to do. So I started painting again. Like, does anybody want music-based stuff? I've had this Colorverse idea for years. And so I just decided to do it. And music-based painting and Coververse, which is a part of the Colorverse, which are the album covers. And I think you guys posted the Beastie Boys and Boston mm-hmm. and a Rush cover and some things I did. That's fun to do, but I really enjoy what I'm doing right behind me here. I don't know if you can see it.
Yeah.
Is interpretive stuff. And this is a piece for someone who's a friend of mine for her parents' wedding anniversary, is Bridge Over Troubled Water. Let me see if you can.
Oh wow!
If you can kind of see where that's coming along, but I had to take a break from.
I can kind of see that.
Yeah, if you get up close to it, you can really see it. But I had to stop listening to. I listened to the song about. That's what I do. I listen to the song you tell me you want me to interpret mm-hmm. over and over and over and over again until I get the painting, until I'm done. And this song made me want to throw myself off the bridge over troubled water. So I had to take a break. So but that's what it's all about. It's all about music. It's all about inspiration coming from music and the covers. The Beastie Boys cover was a great one for me. That was a big part of my mid 80s. And it's just, and I don't use any brushes. It's all palette knives. So that's why Bob Ross is my patron saint. This is a Bob Ross sweatshirt that I paint in and I rub all my mm-hmm. stuff. I shouldn't rub my stuff off on, but you know what I mean?
I seen a quote on your website that said, I paint with everything I can find except a brush. It's more fun that way. So what do you paint with? Like,
Here, I'll show you. This is, I don't know if you'll be able to see all this, but this is sort of so I'll use palette knives, bottle heads, pieces of cardboard, these little mailers, the things that you get in the mail. These are great. Yeah. These little plastic things are great. What else? Oh, pickle lids.
If I need a pickle circle. Lids.
Pickle jar lids. That?
Oh, wait. Oh, pickle with the circle. Okay, I got you.
So if I need a circle, I've got different size circles and Q-tips, a lot of Q-tips, but no brushes. I won't use any brushes because to me that's so cheating.
So just the kind of wondering about that. How is that kind of cheating from your perspective?
The using the brushes, to me, it confines you to what a brush is capable of. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's funny because if I need a circle, I can't paint a circle, but I've got a Charles Chips can lid that's a perfect circle. So I'll just pop that up and I'll do my thing. And then I just work off of it. But I mean, I have all, you know, just different, you know, just palette knife sizes and everything. And I'll show you this very quickly, but that's my, all my Bob Ross Funko Pops. And
oh, that's cool.
That's awesome.
Deadpool I see. Is Funko, yeah, is Bob Ross right and all that stuff. So that's really, it's not that I don't care that much. I don't care about being realistic all that much. And I never have. So that's really what it's been about, because honestly, dude, you guys know as well as I do, your life is determined and defined by the music that you've listened to. You can hear if you can hear a song and it takes you back to a specific memory on a specific day, that's what it should be about. An interpretation of that is the best part of it. So whenever I do something, the most nerve-wracking part for me is when they open it up and look at it, because if they don't like it, I can tell immediately, but I want to know immediately. And if they don't like it, I'll paint over it and do it again. But it's, they have to give me the ability to interpret it the way I hear the song, and then we go. So
yeah.
What is your favorite album that you've done? Well, favorite artwork.
You've seen some of them. I think the Boston one turned out really cool, but especially again, not using brushes, but trying to figure out how to do it with palette knives. We did Prince Purple Rain. Yeah, there it is. Yeah. So that one was very cool. That was fun to do. Prince, I did Purple Rain, Beastie Boys, License to Ill. And what's funny about all of these, and about even the one behind me, is painting. And if, you know, you guys probably know this musically, when you're writing or whatever, the most important part is to know when you're done. It's like gambling. You've got to know when you're done, because you can do one little thing and fuck it all up.
Yeah.
Very
so,
true.
It's knowing when you're done. And so the Beastie Boys piece I did, and I kept looking, I'm like, nah, it's not right. Something's missing. And I went, there was one point where I went, whoop, 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 with some silver. And I went up and down and then a little bit of a black line. I'm like, okay, it's done. It's right. So those are the ones that I love. The Rush piece that I think I sent you was cool, because it has the Starman in there, but it has the fly by night owl in there. Yeah. And these aren't, and I'm not, look, trust me, the guys that did the original artwork are geniuses. I'm not trying to rip any of them off. I'm just trying to interpret that stuff for people who are fans of those bands. Mm-hmm. And if somebody would ever sue me and say, that's too close, or that this or that, I would set them a fire. That's fine. I'm not trying to rip anybody off. I'm trying to show you what a fan I am of what you've done. So
Absolutely. So these ones are cover verses. Yeah, I just noticed that when you said that.
And you know what's funny about that one, the Zeppelin one. That whole thing is done with sponges. So if
that was all sponges.
That's all sponges.
Sponges.
But
wow.
do you see on the top of the blimp, those hard lines are kind of laid in there.
Yeah.
Those were done with a card like this. Like this, from that I got in the mail, I bent it, put it in black paint, touched it to the canvas, and that was it. It wasn't this card, which was Spectrum. It was AARP, which was so great.
So that's awesome. So those are the cover verses, but so you basically just take an album and kind of recreate it with a painting, which I think is just freaking awesome.
Right.
These I am so impressed by are these, like, this is the color verse, right?
Yeah. And that is taking a song, that's Twisted Transistor by Korn.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't tell you what they were when I sent them to you, but the whole point is, if you look, every one of the lines is something of an antenna from a transistor, but the dark spot in the middle, no matter which way you turn it, it's a music note. So
Gotcha. Oh,
the center
yeah.
of it
like, oh, yeah.
is a black hole, but a music note using a transistor antenna. And then all four quadrants were the color palette that the person that asked me to do it was a fan of. So
that is amazing.
That's the other thing that I try to do is so that I sign them in all four corners. So no matter which way you want to hang it on any given day, it's still a realized painting.
Yeah, that one is real. That might be my favorite one that you've done. That's beautiful.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
So when someone comes to you with the song and they hit you up and they tell you what colors they want you to use and that sort of a thing. Like where do you start with that? Do you just start painting or do you kind of like have an idea and you're like, okay, I'm going to do this?
No, actually, hang on one second. I'll show you what I do. Ultimately, is I sit. I have a notebook, and I sit, and I kind of write out, you know, what it is they're asking for, and then I listen to the song over and over again, and I start sketching, and I just start thinking about colors. I listen to keywords and different things, and then I start kind of figuring out in my head where I want it to be. And then there's a point where you just have to go, I got to put paint on canvas. And like yeah. this one here, I started this one today. I spent about 5 hours on it. It's still all over me.
Yeah.
And I see that for sure. I was, I'll be honest with you, I was scared shitless of this. And I'm like, if I don't unwrap the canvas and I don't start this, I'm never going to finish it. So I just went in and did it. And that's really what it's been. It's more about lyrical content. Now, I would say, I don't want it to be too obvious. You know, like if you looked at Twisted Transistor, you would immediately go, oh, it's a transistor radio, blah, blah, blah. There was one that I did, and this never fails. And anybody that is watching, if you ever decide that you're going to do something that is going to be open to public interpretation, count on this happening. One of the first people that came to me was a guy who said, I really want to do this song for my wife. It means a lot to her when she runs. And that was maybe the third one I did. And it was Clocks by Coldplay. Oh. And if I could find a way to make Coldplay's plane go down, I would. I hate them. And I'm like, God damn it. Really? So now I have to listen to this song over and over and Uh-oh. Over until I finish this. It was the most satisfying thing. It was the smartest thing I ever did. I listened to that song, and that painting had no clocks in it, no nothing. It was about what it meant to her and the color palette I got to choose, and they loved it. They framed it, put a pin spot on it in their house. And I told them, I said, you're killing me, Smalls. I hate this band, but it didn't matter. And there was one couple that she gave, and there's been a lot of songs I didn't know. And there was one where a young lady asked me to do one for her as an anniversary song. So they had a piece that was, I don't know, about this big. What I decided to do was about them, you know, being together. So it was about them coming, finding a way to come together. But then there were two smaller canvases on either side that had a gold ring, and that was them separate. And then, but in the main painting, they weren't together until you flipped it over, and there were two gold rings intersecting on the back of the canvas, which was just for them to know. So that's what's fun for me, is to sit and figure out what I think would be meaningful to you, since you've entrusted me with that song.
Yeah. Right. No, that's so cool. That's so cool. So do you listen to that song the entire time that you're painting
yes.
it?
Or yeah.
You do?
Yeah. It's the only thing I listen to. And
I'm pretty sure you were relieved when you were done listening to that, right?
Well, I would tell you this. I'm like, I think I'm going to do Clocks in a 2x2 inch, and we're going to be done in about 8 minutes. No, it was one of the bigger pieces. And by the time it was over, I had a new appreciation for the song. I still don't care for the band all that much, but that particular song, and because it meant something to her, meant something to me. This one, Bridge Over Troubled Water, is a great classic song. And it reminds me of Ishtar, which is one of my favorite movies of all time. Go look it up. But it's every single one of these matters to me, I guess. And that's the word that I should use. Every one of them matters to me because it matters to you. And I've done them for birthdays. I've done them for no other reason than just to do them. I've anniversaries, but I love it. I love it. If I could do this for a living, I would, but I hate, it's like, I don't know how much to charge people. I don't know what it's worth. I on the website, you probably saw it. I said, these will probably be all worth so much less when I'm dead. But I, you know what I mean? But that's what I want. They mean something to you. So it means something to me to give to you. And again, like I said, if you ever said to me, it's not what I had hoped for, I'll go do it until you like it.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Yeah.
That's called dedication right there.
That's good customer service right there.
it's passion for music, which the world has not squeezed out of me just yet. Music matters. It should matter. And, you know, if somebody, I will say this, and maybe this was a question you had coming up, but if somebody did come to me and said, I want you to do Cardi B, I would tell them to fuck off. I would paint a picture of this and it wouldn't be abstract in the least. It would be detailed. In fact, I might just get them a photograph and blow it up. I'm not any of that shit. I'm not into any of that stuff. I did enough nonsensical bullshit in the last few years. I'm not doing that, but and then maybe that's just me being, but you know, get your ball out of my yard shit, but that's right. Garbage.
Well, you know, speaking of, you know, the music industry, this is actually something I am studying for college. It's radio. You were in radio, 96.5, I'm assuming.
Well, I started 97X back in the mid
97X. Okay. Yeah.
The future of rock and roll bang from Rain Man. That's where I did the first 2 years. And then I did EBN for years.
Oh, wow.
As Dolphin on the Dawn Patrol. Then I went to Atlanta and shortened it to Finn because I just got tired of explaining the stupid nickname Dolphin. And then I came back to 96 Rock and kept it as Finn. Some people would think I was Irish, which, you know, clearly I am. So I've done radio for 25 years. But and so you say you're studying radio as a career or as a history or what?
It's my major, and yeah, it is basically a career for now.
But are you talking about internet radio or podcast? Well, I mean, because terrestrial radio, I'm going to tell you right now, in 10 years,
I would say mainly internet radio, because that's what my school's doing. It's what I've been introduced to. So yeah, mainly internet radio and podcasting, because that's what I've been doing right now. So stuff like that.
Well, and I would tell you this, I mean, because Gamble and I, we did mornings together on 96 Rock for years. Now we're doing Larger Than Live, which is fun. We do that Monday nights. We do a little extra editions and shit that we put over on YouTube, which is fun because it's a way for us just to get together and laugh and talk shit. We have monetized it a little bit. We're going to be opening day down at the Moorline Lager House from noon until, well, it's funny because yesterday on the show I said from noon till first piss. And he's like, you mean first pitch? I'm like, until I have to piss. So I've got about 1:15. You can finish the show. But we're doing that. And I think that's the key. If you can figure out a way to do that and make yourself different and monetize, because I think podcasting right now is in the same arena that cable TV was. When cable first came on, it was great. You had so many channels, no commercials. And then everybody had channel. It's like, how do you step out? How do you make yourself different? And the way we've tried to do it is by proving to people that we just don't give a shit. And
don't give a crap.
If you can figure that out. Because I told kids, even when they came into the EBN studio in the 90s when I was doing middays, they would say, you know, I want to get into radio. What advice do you have? And I said, go to med school.
go to med school.
You know, and that was in the 90s. But I mean, honestly, there is something to be said, and you guys know this as well as I do, because when people go out to support local bands and you don't call you for free tickets, if it's free, it's for me. So as long as there is free radio, it will survive. But figure out a way to make yourself different. You don't have to be addicted to do it. That's the way we've chosen, but you don't have to do that. But I'm just saying, figure out that way that's going to make you different, because there are so many Joe Rogan and all these guys have these huge podcasts. How are you going to compete with that? I don't know. Yeah, but anyway.
One thing I always try to work on is try to be the next me, not the next whoever DJ I like to listen to. Because I hear a lot of students say that, and I'm like, that's cool that you had that inspiration, but you should work on being you.
Well, think about this. And you guys, you know, grew up listening to EBN probably mostly maybe in the 90s. But how many big boss jocks, big boss radio jocks did EBN have with the big booming voice? How many? None.
Nobody. Not really.
No, no. Jay Gilbert is a goof. Fingers has a good radio voice and a laugh. Bob, the producer, is a tool. I'm a dork. You know, I mean, none of us had big radio voices, but we were just being ourselves. And right. I think we are running out of that. We've got you. People have got to just be themselves. And I think, you know, it's funny, especially when you think about that Arena Rock show. You guys are getting up, and what I love about it is you get up and you are true to the songs and to the music, but you are still each your own character within there. So Nikki is pulling a little Ace Frehley, a little this, a little that, you know, whatever. But you're still true to yourselves to present something that you love and something that you care about. And that still matters. I swear to God, it still matters. Don't become a cookie cutter.
Right.
Yeah. Don't right. Don't do no cookie cutter crap. Cookie cutter.
Well, jumping back to the Colorverse, I wanted to pop up a couple of the ones that you sent us, and I just kind of wanted to like get your thoughts on it and like what inspired it and what you were thinking, you know, or where these ideas came from and stuff like that.
Okay. Sure.
So here's one. It's like a bunch of. I'll let you explain it.
That one was In This Moment, Maria Brink, and I think the song was In the Flames.
Okay.
And oh, nice. The song is all about darkness surrounding you, but still there being that fire and whatnot that gets you out. And I can't honestly tell you that I remember all the lyrics, but I do remember thinking it was important that something showed through all of the darkness and even all of the hot flame. And when I was done with it, I looked at that, just that single white line emanating through. And I was even kind of surprised at how the paint reacted and how it seemed to glow from the inside out. And that was one of those where I knew I was done. And that's one of the most well-received pieces I've ever done, which is why I sent it to you. But it was one that surprised me because when I first started, it was so much darker. And then that spot of light kind of really sold the idea of the song and for the person who contracted me to do it. And I really dig that piece because it's rough, but yes, it has, in spite of being rough, it has a soul, if you will.
Mm. It's beautiful. I love one of the things I love that you do is like these little lines that are like scratches.
Yeah.
I think that's
well. I appreciate that. There's a lot of vertical and horizontal lines, and there's a lot of crosses. And I'm not a religious guy, but there is something about the cross that, if you use it correctly in different colors, it creates depth. And there are some paintings where I'm looking at them like it's just flat, it's flat, it's flat. And then I start dropping crosses in different colors, and it brings depth and dimension. And honestly, it surprises me. I'm as surprised when these are done. People say, I can't wait to see it. And my answer is always the same. I can't either. Because I don't know what it's going to look like when it's done. But I just have to know when it's done.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. Here's another one.
Now, this is a pretty one.
Yeah. Love the colors in it.
Now, that one was just one of the most recent ones that I've done. That's Nazareth, Rose in the Heather.
That is,
you know, that is Manet, Monet. I was an art student. So if you can layer in the colors and you look at the dark and the light, I looked at a field of heather and it had that. I always thought heather was just dried out, you know, long brown grass that was in the British Open. But I realized that it's a flowering plant that's purple and it has darkness and green and things like that. But if you look down in the, I guess that would be the lower left hand third, there's a very, 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 very small touch of red.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see that rose. Right there.
Yeah. That's the rose in the heather. And I really wanted that to be, I used a lot of paint that I put up the top and then I let it drip to the bottom on the blue background. And then I came in and punched up the green and the purples and the whites to give some dimension. But again, that was another one of those when I was doing it, I'm like, I don't feel it. And then boom, the green pulled everything out into multiple layers and I was done. I knew I was done. So, but that's Resin the Heather by Nazareth.
Yeah, that's really wow. Cool. Beautiful.
Here's another.
This one right here might be my second favorite. I'm not sure what it is, but I think
that looks like a radio wave in the middle.
It is. It's Pearl Jam.
Oh.
And it's Pearl Jam Black.
And gotcha. The easiest
thing to do would have been just paint the whole canvas black or use a white canvas and paint black. But it's all about interconnection. It's all about the filtering in his voice. And that's a sound wave bounced in there. And what the great part is, no matter how dark that canvas is in any particular part of it, there's no black. I didn't use any black. So for that's, again, that's me. That's the thing that I know that I did or did not do. I didn't use any black. Everything that's dark is created by other colors. And that was one where it wasn't until I did the radio wave, because the circles were in there and the interconnectivity was there. And it wasn't until I put the radio wave and the vocal wave in there that I felt like it was done.
Yeah, dude, that is so cool.
I think this one's going to be my favorite one. I think this one's probably the best one.
See the blue circle? That's hang on, I'll show you. Hang on. That was the Charles Chips can lid.
Oh wow. That's awesome.
I got this piece of tape on the back so that I can hold it and come in and do the paint. And then the other circles that are on there are just those different size lids that I showed you before. So,
wow.
But that's how it happens. And if it does, like I said, if it doesn't happen or it doesn't mean something to the person that I did it for, I'll do it again. I want you to be happy with it when you get it.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. It's just like everything that you do is unique. And especially because it's to a song like that, that is just so cool. But one of the things I was going to ask you was like, what was the most special thing that like, you know, either you painted for someone or someone had you paint for them? I remember reading a story about the guitar one and we have that here.
Yeah.
I don't know if this would be that most special story for you or not, but
I would tell you there's two. This is one of them because it's completely out of my wheelhouse because it's abstract, but it's still realism.
Yeah.
There's one that I did that I didn't send you, but it was my mom. I was talking to my mom. She had just put her golden retriever down. Mm. And while I was talking to her, I had a picture that my sister sent to me of my mom's dog. And she had kind of jacked up teeth in the front and whatever, but there were certain things about her face of a golden retriever that were specifically her. So I was on the phone with my mom and I just had a canvas board. It wasn't even a canvas. It was just a board, whatever. And while I was talking to her over the course of the hour with some Q-tips, I was talking to her, painting her dog's face with the Q-tips. And when we got done talking, I was done with the painting. I dried it and I mailed it to her. So that to me is the most special one because it holds a place in her home and it reminds her of her dog. Now, the one that you just put up on screen,
yeah,
a friend of mine, and you guys probably know Denny Blake, but he is a local record guy and he's friends with a guy named Binky Phillips, who is a renowned guitar player in the Northeastern scene, guy that played with a band who he was recruited for years, you know, by Iggy and the Stooges to come play, but he never did. So his band, but he has this, I think this is a 57 Starburst and Les Paul Starburst. And you can see, I mean, the Starburst is completely, you know, he's worn it out. So you can look to the right. That's the actual guitar. But I know when you guys can tell me a guitar player's perception of a guitar, it's all about the measurements. It's all about the proportion. And so when he asked me to do this, I'm like, dude, I don't know if I can fucking do this, to be honest with you. It's a little much. So I went in and I measured it out. It took me longer to measure it out than it did to paint it. So the registration marks of where I measured it out are still in the painting. You can
those little cross lines,
see them on the points.
Oh yeah,
of the guitar
on the yeah. left there.
Those are registration marks of measurement to try to get it as close to his guitar as I could. And when I gave it to him to send to Binky for his birthday, the next picture I got back was Binky standing in his house, his new house, with it hanging in his front entryway, standing with that guitar in his hand. And that was pretty fucking awesome.
I'll tell you. That's priceless, dude. That is so cool.
But every one that I do surprises me. And if there's, and like I said, every single one scares the shit out of me, but that's good because that means I care. And the minute it doesn't scare me, I'm just cranking them out. Because everybody says, why don't you do multiple Boston covers? Why don't you do multiple? I'm not. I'm doing one. That's it. When you get it, you get it. That's the only one I'm doing. I'm not doing one anymore.
Did you create any of them?
No.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's not mine to begin with. I won't do another of that Rush cover. I won't do it. Mean, I might do that again, but it won't look anything like that.
Right. So, it won't be exact. Yeah. Right. No, that's right. That's so cool. That is so cool. And so we actually just we worked on kind of a project together. We are kind of and had this concept. We being that Arena Rock Show had a concept of coming up with a mascot. And Finn here is cool, is really good at drawing like cartoon type characters. So, and that's kind of the idea I wanted, right? So so I pitched the idea to him and he came back with something that I think is freaking awesome. So this is it in its, I guess, rawest form maybe.
It's infancy, yes.
It's infancy, infancy. Yeah. Eventually, you know, we might color him in, we might, you know, do something to it, but I'm going to bring up the sketches. We're debuting this for the first time, and it'll probably make its debut on our states in some way, shape, or form. But check this out. So this is so we basically wanted like a cartoon 80s rocker kind of guy, like Iron Maiden has for Eddie. So we asked Finn to come up with something that was kind of like an 80s rock dude that could kind of sell what that Arena Rock Show is. So I also kind of cropped this version, which I think is kind of cool, where it's just like his head with the horns coming out and all that. But
you know, with the stripes on his face.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're getting the same vibe as I am, but he kind of reminds me a little bit of Nikki Sixx in a
Does
sort of
he?
Way.
Yeah.
That's what I'm seeing.
He might have been an inspiration.
I can see.
He's like, we gotta cover him back up. No.
A little bit.
Yeah. So,
yeah. If in fact, what Nikki's not telling you is, if you look down lower, I drew Heather Locklear hanging off his balls. So
oh, really,
yeah. So. So it might be a little bit of a tribute. I don't know.
Nikki Sixx, Tommy Lee.
Oh, I'm sorry, Tommy Lee. My bad.
It's all good, man. That's still great, though.
Who knows? It was Motley Crue.
Yeah, exactly. Motley Crue. Anything happens.
I'm sure that no swapping ever happened.
Right.
That's great. I love doing that guy.
Yeah, that was fun.
I'll never say that phrase ever again, by the way.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
But yeah, so we've kind of been toying around with a name. So actually I think it'd be kind of cool if you're watching here live, leave a comment with what you think we should name this guy. A couple ideas were
I like that idea.
Yeah, so my idea was Harry.
Harry
Harry, right? So it's kind of like Eddie, but it's Harry, right? So and then
Hi, Harry. My idea was a little different.
Yeah, and yeah.
Tell me. Go back to the full picture if you can. You go back to the full picture?
Yep.
If you look down on that, that's not a cross, that's a T for that Arena Rock Show. So you can play with that all you want. But my idea for him was named Tarzan. T-A-R-S-A-N. So you guys do with what you will. He's you own him. He belongs to you. But I called him Tarzan.
Yeah. How did you come up with it? Just because Tars and then Ann kind of just fits? Or was there like, were you naming it like on your computer and it was like Tars and then A-N was something else and then you...
Dude.
No.
I got that for you. Other than watching terrible daytime TV and thinking up stupid names for things, I don't know how to do anything else. So that's where that came from. I'm like, Tars. What do I... Tarzan.
I got it.
But that's you guys, look, I'm telling you what, do what you want with them. If I can come up with weirdo iterations of him, it sells what you do. I love what you do. I am more than happy to figure out how to make him whatever you want him to be. But I would tell you this. That guy and you know, the black under the eyes and the, you know, the little goatee and the different things absolutely sort of represent all of the things that you sort of want to, hint to, but you guys, the thing that people that are watching, if there's anybody left, because I've been babbling on, but no, if I've been talking way too much which is what I want to do. But the thing that people have to realize is you are recreating this music out of the love of it and out of your desire to make it live on. And there's nothing more special than that. There is nothing. I went back to Bogarts because I value the live music experience more than anything else. I mean, the way we have consumed music, recorded music has changed, you know, 78, 33, 45s, cassette singles. What was the one thing? It was like the little digital tapes. That was bullshit. That lasted for about 6 months. I mean, downloads and this and that. But the one thing that hasn't changed is live. That is always going to be the connection. And when you talked about Red Beach asking you to open a beer for him, you'll never, ever not remember that. That will never not be a story that you can tell. And that's what makes a difference. And when you guys get on stage, you might be playing songs people have heard 18 million times. They wanted to hear them 18 million times. And the way you're doing it is fucking spot on.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Spot on. Well,
so where can people buy these paintings from you?
Well, my website is colorversebyfinn.com.
Yeah.
C-O-L-O-R-V-E-R-S-E byfin1n, finn.com. And you can go read. I wrote the whole website myself. It's just complete nonsense all the way down. read all the way down to the disclaimer, the legal stuff, where it says all rights reserved. You know, where you normally see that. It says all rights reserved, all lefts tend to be a little bit more outgoing. But that the entire website is in my voice and it shows off some of the things I'm most proud of having done, comments from people. And honestly, if somebody said you've completely fucked it up and I hated it and it wasn't worth the money, I would post that review as quickly as I posted any of the others. But I've been lucky that I haven't gotten one of those. And I don't know if it's because people know me and they pretend to like me. But someday somebody is really going to hate me, and I can't wait for that review too. So, it is
an interesting day.
Colorversebyfinn.com. I might do one for them for free. Colorversebyfinn.com. If you want to go there, and if you have a song, and it doesn't matter the genre, except hip hop, Cardi B, and all that. Fuck all that. I have an idea for a hip hop song. But if you're a fan of Brown, that might be a good one. That's all I'm saying. So that's it. I mean, my boy, Bob Ross, he's my inspiration. I love doing it. I love being able to make things that are personal for people. And if you want one and you like it, I'll do it till you do. So,
yeah,
you know, just like your mom.
Yeah. Shoot. One more question before we get off here. I was going to ask All you, right. is there a painting that you have in your head that you're like, oh, I want to do this one that I have that you haven't done yet, that you're just kind of waiting for someone to like ask you to do? Or is it, or is, do you just think of them right off the top of your head when someone gives you?
Honestly, I think the Beastie Boys was the one I really wanted to do. And
someone actually asked for it?
No, I painted it because I have 10 or 12 canvases available at Shaker Records. I'm sorry, but this hat's driving me batshit crazy. Sorry. but I have 10 or 12 of them available and for sale at Shaker Records in Northside. So if you want to go down there and find what I did, who's next? And the one that you showed, the Zeppelin piece, the Nirvana piece is down there.
Yeah.
But the Beastie Boys was one that was a huge part of my mid-80s experience, and I wanted to do it. And it's because some of them I do, and I'm like, I'm just going to keep this. I'm like, why? Why would I keep this? I have so many things all around my house. But I'm scared to death of every one, and I think that's awesome.
That is awesome. Do you actually have one in your house? Did you do one that you actually kept?
Well, here, if you do you mind, this might make you a little seasick, but I'll show you.
No.
Where it all began. Oh, hang on.
Getting dizzy.
Hold, please. All right, I will show you. Here's the thing, and I will show you this. I'm walking around in my house. But
nice
this,
house.
This one, oh, yeah, it's a gem. See that right there? I don't know if you can see it.
Yeah.
One second. This piece right here, let's see, there we go. That purple and black right there.
Oh, okay.
See that one? That one, this one. Oh, here we go. Let me see if I can get back here a little bit tighter in on it. That right there is one that I did in 1986.
Oh, wow.
So that's the one that really.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So that's when your parents were starting to think about the idea of you.
That's probably true.
Right? that is the first one that started it all. But what's great is I've got, you know, pieces like this. This is one I have down here. This is Push Comes to Shove by Jackal.
Oh, no way.
Jackal, wow.
But the best part is I got them all. To sign that for me.
Oh, no way. That's cool.
I've been buddies with Jackal for a long time, and I said, dude, if you guys will sign this one for me, I promise to get top dollar for it on eBay.
top dollar. Yeah, awesome.
There's what I did. This one. There's this. This one's called the Yeti, right here, in my house. But here's the best part. Okay. This is one I did one day. I'm sitting here doing them. One day with my daughter, and so she did this one. I don't know if you can see it.
Yeah,
a little bit. There we
come
go.
On,
that's
here.
Cool.
Oh, so she's kind of felt that I have a separate studio here where I keep some stuff. But yeah, it's all about, you know, the artwork. It really is. I love it. I mean, there's nothing that isn't ridiculous about my house, including things like that. But
get the neck, you know, nice.
But my whole house is about artwork. So
yeah,
Justice League. Oh yeah,
this stuff. You know, Batman. This was a great piece by John Maggard, who used to do all the EBN T-shirts and sweatshirts, and that one is actually.
Oh, wow.
From back in the day at Kings Island Fear Fest, that's actually signed by Alice Cooper because we brought him in. Yeah, no we way. Brought him in to cut off Bill Cunningham's head.
nice.
1 year. So it worked out great. But no, this my whole house is all about this stuff. It's all about the music and the art. And so anyway, I have a which one of you guys is a bass player?
He's been on.
I'm just because a podcaster.
I don't want to show off, but I have a bass signed by Sting.
Oh, no way.
Sting.
It's a first bass. Yeah, all right.
Nice.
<That's hilarious. laughs>
I have one signed by Bootsy, and that's when we decided we were going to get bases signed by different people. So they're baseball bases. So anyway, but that's it, boys. I mean, that's you're pretty much looking at it. This is my, oh, here, I will tell you this, as far as artists go. Oh, shit. My buddy Michael Rudolph is a local comedian, but also does some killer woodwork. This because I don't know. He made this. This is a bourbon barrel head of my logo. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, whoa. So, yeah, I think I saw that on Facebook.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, cool. This is a substantial thing. This is the sort of thing where if I deliver the painting and you don't like it, I will give you one chance to redo it, and then I will bash you in the head with this. No, I but he does some really great, cool stuff there as well. So I want to support him as well. Yeah. So now that's it, boys. That's this is what I do.
That's awesome, man. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I hope you had fun. I had fun learning about it all. So I'm looking at a spot on my wall that needs one of those paintings too. So
right. You know what he should do? I think he should look whatever you're looking at on your wall, have him paint it, and have him as a contest and give it to one of the fans for that Arena Rock show.
Yeah, that could be cool. That could be cool.
We'll figure it out. You guys pick the hairband song of your choice, and we'll do it. Hell, there's been times, I mean, you remember, there were shows at Bogart's where we would have live painters doing paintings during the show. You know, there's all kinds of different things. The beauty of creativity is that it's never ending. And what you guys are doing is it's not brand extension. It's not living in the past. It is absolutely forward thinking. And whether you believe it or even know it or not, but I'm telling you right now, what you're doing for people can't be calculated as to how important it is. And that's why I've been a believer from day one, and I appreciate you guys taking the time to help me promote this stuff. Thank you.
Yeah, you literally have been a believer since day one. Like I said, I remember when we posted that thing, and you made a comment, and I remember that. So, thank you again. Thank you for joining us, Chris. And we'll have to figure something out as a maybe have you come out and do a painting or something at a show and auction it off or something.
Figure out a song, something that you guys like, or whatever it is. Yeah. And for those of you who have watched the entire thing, you're going to have a really good sleep score to watch tonight. You're welcome. And for those of you who are having a bit of insomnia, I tend to prattle on, so replay this anytime you like.
All right, man. Well, thanks again for joining us. We're going to sign off. I'm going to hit the band promo here. And we'll see you all next time. Thank you all for tuning in. You know where you are. Nothing but a good time. How can I?
Nice ending to that one there, Lee.